This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Okay. Now, that's all thrown my timetable for the program way, way off, because by now I should have been talking to Rodney over there about probably the youngest people who to join the gay community indirectly. That is the children of gay dads and the gay dads who want to have children. Rodney, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug.
Now, when is this big forum that you're planning?
We've got a forum coming up actually at the Joy Studio function rooms on the 5th of November, Saturday the 5th of November. It's running from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's a free community forum run by gay dads who have become dads via surrogacy. It's our sixth forum that we've had, and they prove very popular every year we run them, and they're all volunteer run. So yeah, that's something. It's a very big need in our community at the moment to find out information about becoming parents.
Is there a big demand at the moment? I mean, we hear a lot about lesbian mums. We don't hear quite so much about gay dads. And that's one point I want to look at. And the other point is the whole thing about two men having children is much more controversial in society generally than two women having children, isn't it? So let's start with the first one. Are you finding increasing numbers of gay male couples are coming to you and asking about how they go about becoming dads?
Absolutely. Every day of the week, I get an email or a phone call from somebody I've never met wanting to know more about how they can become a father. Most of the time, it's through surrogacy, but other people are looking at things like adoption in those states where it's available, and foster caring and co-parenting arrangements. But predominantly, it is surrogacy that people are looking at. I think it goes back to, as gay men, as we grow up and come out, we don't realise that we block off that option of becoming parents, much to our parents' disgust or disappointment. And it's only in the last 5 or so years.
Does this mean I'm not going to have grandchildren?
Yes,
yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have heard that refrain from our mothers. But in the last 5-7 years or so, that has changed. And gay men now can pursue that dream of becoming a father. Look, it's not for everybody, that's for sure, straight or gay. Not everybody wants to be parents or should be parents. But for those who do have a strong desire to become parents, the option's now available for gay men.
Carrington, I want to bring you in here. This is Carrington Brigham from Optus here. On this particular subject, you ever thought about being a dad?
Absolutely, definitely. It's something that I certainly see myself doing. Probably, I mean, I've even thought about it, but probably into my late 30s or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's great that that you're doing this, because I can think of many other young men out there who would definitely want to think about doing it themselves.
Because, you know, this is all very strange to someone like me, because I came up in the era when, you know, fatherhood was completely off the agenda. If you were gay, that was completely out the window. You couldn't even think about it. I must say it never occurred to me anyway. I was one of the things I was quite relieved about being gay was that I wouldn't have to be a father.
Well, Doug, I'm not that much younger than you, and it was off my agenda for many, many years as well. And simply because there was nothing practical I could do about it. But surrogacy has changed that. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but that's a very emotive topic. I mean, there's a lot of people who are uncomfortable about surrogacy, mm-hmm. generally. We particularly hear the Christian right going on about, you know, oh, we can't have gay men going out there buying babies and all that kind of emotive stuff.
Yeah, we're used to the Christian right and the emotive talk that we get. But when it comes down to it, we're talking about a gay man or a gay couple who are wanting to create a family, and those sort of arguments and that negativity that comes from only part of the community, and it is a small, noisy part of the community, doesn't affect them in their decision. They want to create a family like anybody else. They have the same innate desire to create a family.
But isn't it an enormously expensive and legally complex process at the moment, anyway?
It can be very expensive. It's not as expensive as it used to be, thanks for our dollar going up from when we did.
Not after today.
Not after today.
Down, no.
Not after
today.
It's gone back down again.
Yeah, it's gone back down, but it's still much more impressive than what it was when I did it. But the options are available now for surrogacy are great.
So What are you going to cover at this forum? Are you going to cover the kind of legal aspects and so forth?
Yeah, we're going to talk to the legal aspects of surrogacy in Australia, in Victoria in particular.
Are you going to have experts on this?
We're a social and community group, so it's not going to be full of legalism and experts. We're just going to have gay dads.
But some of your gay dad members are lawyers, aren't they?
Some of them are lawyers.
Some of the only people who can afford to have babies.
That used to be the case. It's certainly not the case before. I mean, Carrington mentioned when he gets to his late 30s, and that's certainly when most men have had kids through surrogacy recently. Mm-hmm. But increasingly, we're getting people in their late 20s having kids. Mm. And it's great to see. I mean, I wasn't ready in my late 20s, but if people are, it's great.
Yeah, I know someone that's done it that is in IT, or I think he's in design or something like that. So it's definitely not just lawyers.
No. that's a bit of a furphy. They're not...
Well, it certainly used to be. But what I'm trying to get at is that you probably have a lot of professional expertise among yes. gay dads, because it does tend to be something that people do when they've got an established career, when they can afford to have children, regardless yes. of how you have the children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bringing up children is an incredibly expensive occupation.
Yeah, we will be covering the legal aspects, but it's more practical aspects forum. We're going to talk about how you can go about doing it, where you go, to look for agencies, what you do when you bring the child back to Australia, when you go over for the birth and you come back with the child, what do you do? How do you get your Medicare card? Those sort of things.
Because overseas surrogacy has been criminalised in some jurisdictions, hasn't it?
New South Wales and Queensland are the two main ones in Australia where it has been criminalised for anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're straight or gay, single or coupled. Technically illegal to enter into a commercial surrogacy arrangement overseas. It's not the case in Victoria.
And it's also, aren't there also problems around both of you being recognised as parents of the child?
Actually, there's problems around either of us being recognised as parents of the child. Technically,
But I mean, if one of you is the sperm donor, surely you can be recognised.
No.
No?
The one who donates the sperm for the... surrogacy is still known as a donor. Technically in Australia, men who have children via surrogacy, and straight couples as well, fall into this arrangement, are not legally the parents. It's so a grey area.
That is a real minefield, isn't it? Because we have all these issues about people who are born as a result of surrogacy or whatever, wanting to know what their genetic parentage is.
Yeah, that doesn't come down to the legal recognition. It comes down to whether... there's the information provided to, you know, where the sperm came from, where the egg came from, who the surrogate was, even though there may not be any genetic link to the surrogate, but knowing who the surrogate was. There's one thing gays and lesbians have an advantage over heterosexuals here, is that we cannot hide that our children were created via non-traditional means.
It's been said that a lot of these children will, when they get older, they will want to know where they came from, that they're being deprived of something by not being brought up in contact with their genetic heritage. What do you say to that?
They're really valid concerns, and there's lots of studies that go on to explore this. There hasn't been any studies that have explored gays and lesbians to any great degree in this regard. I think that the reality is that if kids are brought up in a loving household with one or two parents who love them and are told the truth, and that's one thing gays and lesbians who parent have no option but to tell the truth
on this. I would have thought that would have been one of the key issues, because I think a lot of the problems in the past with children who were born through surrogacy or through donors or whatever else, their heterosexual parents concealed their origins
and they didn't find out until they were maybe in their mid-teens at that horrible adolescent phase, which we all remember.
Which is a bad time to be learning anything like
that. Yeah, and it's a time when you're establishing your own identity, and it's a bad time to find out that you may have been lied to by your parents.
It's like finding out Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Doesn't he? Oh dear, can't tell my son that.
No, I said it would be like finding out if he didn't exist. Sorry.
You're absolutely right. The later in life that this happens, that the child is given that information, the more problems that can occur. But that's something that certainly is not going to happen in gay male parented families or lesbian parented families.
How old are your children now?
I have a son who's 5 years old, from surrogacy, and I have two other sons via as a donor dad who are 4 and 2.
And do they all know their origins?
As much as they can at their age, but they certainly do. And
but how do you tell them those things at that age?
You do it as an age-appropriate thing. I mean, we've talked to...
I'm fascinated as to how you explain to a child who maybe looks around and says, well, so-and-so has a mummy and daddy, and so-and-so has a mummy and daddy, and I have two daddies, and where's my mummy?
Ethan hasn't asked that in that context. He's asked about why so-and-so doesn't have two daddies at his at kinder. And... but he's also aware that some of the kids at kinder have two mums, some of the kids have one dad and no mum, and some have one mum and no dad. And there are some kids who just don't have any parent. They're brought up by their grandparents. And
Isn't that interesting? I mean, from their point of view, it's normal for them.
Absolutely.
For your children, it's absolutely normal.
They have no sense of morality or judgment about it. They just accept
they're not,
it as
well. They don't think they're missing something.
No, not at all. In fact... we get kids at Ethan's kinder coming up to us and saying, has Ethan got two daddies? Yes. Oh, I want two daddies.
we'll see if we can get you another one for Christmas.
Yeah. So
ask Santa.
So it's interesting. Through a child's eyes, it's much more innocent and they are far more accepting and they don't bring the baggage that adults tend to bring to those decisions and discussions.
That's fascinating. It's fascinating that it's such a normal part of their world, you know. And I suppose that must infuriate the people who think that they must be missing out on something. And
there is
some kind of innate longing that a child has to have a mummy or a daddy if they don't actually have one.
One of the most common arguments is, the gay people are selfishly bringing children into the world. They're not thinking about the child. It's a selfish act.
Excuse me, but how many straight couples really think about bringing a child into the world at all?
But the argument is that somehow the child has been denied something, but no child actually chooses to be born. So it's something that's...
an argument I had with my father many years ago.
Can I just ask you something, Rodney? Do you think that in the first couple of years of your child's life, that it would have been a better advantage for them to have a mother, to give them that mother nurture?
No, I don't think it would have been an advantage.
Did it ever cross your mind, though? Like, did you ever think about, well, should I be raising this child with a female?
No, I was brought up in a single-parent household, and I didn't feel that I missed out on anything. I grew up in a family that... that was full of love, and that was the most important thing. And I think ultimately that's what it is. Gender and sexuality are very secondary considerations. They're things that adults impose.
Okay, well, we're just going to have to take a little break there. As thanks to Modern Family, actually, we're all getting used to the sight of gay dads in our lounge rooms. I noticed that in the new season, Cameron and Mitchell are setting out to add a second child to their family. That should be interesting. But that's just television. We're talking about the reality. You're listening to The Rainbow Report with Doug Pollard, Rodney Chang-Cruz and Carrington Brigham.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.